Now, the text that I want to speak to you on this evening, you can find either in our reading or at the top of the bulletin that you would receive as you came in today. It comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, and is what I call the Christian Revolution. It is a summary in so many ways and an explanation of what both Deepa and Murdo have been speaking to us about this evening. Listen to these words again. Murdo quoted them to us a moment ago. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. That's the Christian Revolution. A number of weeks ago when I was in Canada, I picked up a book, having to wait for the plane for a while at Halifax Airport in Nova Scotia. And the book that caught my eye and arrested my attention had the interesting title, A Century of Revolution. It was, of course, an attempt by an American historian to demonstrate the fact that we have lived in this 20th century through an entire century characterized so often by revolution. He began at the revolution in Russia in the year 1917, all that horrifying and violent kind of revolution. And through the whole of the century, he traces political, ethnic, social, and industrial revolutions of almost every kind, some of them horrifyingly bloodthirsty and violent, others bloodless and quiet, some apparently sudden, like the tornado that swept through Eastern Europe in 1989 and transformed whole nations from being communist tyrannies to being people who were free and somewhat bemused by the freedom that had come to them so suddenly. Some of these revolutions he describes as being slow and gradual and almost imperceptible until you suddenly look back and see how the world has been changed, for example, in the technological revolution that has transformed our lives in so many ways and made the whole of society different over the past 30 years. Undoubtedly, we live in a revolutionary century. And yet, one sentence in the book caught my eye, as for decency's sake I had to put it down and stop reading it because I wasn't going to buy it, for the simple reason that I didn't have enough Canadian dollars left to do so. But there was this sentence. It went something like this: such revolution and change can easily give us the illusion of human power. But the map of human nature has not been redrawn. That awaits a different kind of revolution. Now, it's precisely that kind of revolution that redraws the map of human nature that we have been hearing about this evening, and that in these closing moments I want to speak to you about. The Apostle Paul, who spoke these words, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation, the old has gone, the new has come. He was not speaking theoretically. He knew more than perhaps most people the most extraordinary and dramatic transformation that took place in his own personal life. And what is now the most famous conversion of history on the road to Damascus. And he certainly knew what it was to be transformed from being Christianity's chief persecutor to being its most effective advocate. But here he says it's true for every Christian. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. That quite simply is New Testament Christianity. And not just New Testament Christianity, that's contemporary Christianity, as we've been hearing this evening. Now I want to point out to you three simple things about this Christian revolution. And the first is this, that it is by any measure and from any angle a radical, indeed the most radical revolution. The word actually means it goes to the roots of the situation. And this is what this Christian revolution is like. It is comparable, says the Apostle Paul, to nothing less than the creation of the world at the beginning. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. It is like the situation that came about when the world was formed and the universe came into being. It is this cataclysmic change which has brought about something utterly new. In the previous chapter of 2 Corinthians, Paul says, it is the same God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, who has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of his glory in the face of Jesus Christ. In other words, you cannot compare this Christian revolution in human experience to anything less than a new creation. Or if you like it in different language, Jesus describes it as being like being born again. You know how we have taken up that phrase that Jesus first used in John's Gospel, chapter 3, to the sophisticated teacher who came to him, not a man who had lived the wild life, but a man who had lived the most religious of lives. And Jesus said to him, when he began to talk about Jesus' teaching, you must be born again. And the man was mystified. He couldn't understand how this could possibly happen. And Jesus said to him, that's exactly what happens to you before you enter the kingdom of God, before you become a true Christian. The transformation is like a new birth. And there is nothing so radical as the Christian revolution. Now you see, the great problem about every humanly instigated revolution is precisely this. It is that it is not nearly radical enough. I hear people talk in all sorts of different places about the revolutionary age in which we live. But I tell you, wherever the revolution and whoever began it, my dear friends, it is not nearly radical enough. Humanly instigated revolutions operate, for example, by sheer physical coercion. But you and I know that the kind of revolution that produces meets with the most amazing resistance in people's lives. Try China as an example. What has been happening in China as they tried to crush these people and discovered that they couldn't? All over Eastern Europe in 1989, what people were crying out was this revolution which is forced upon us by physical coercion is not radical enough. There's a revolution that can be brought about by psychological manipulation or by political persuasion, whatever it may be. The revolution is not radical enough until it becomes the Christian revolution, which is all about personal transformation. Now that's what these two young people have been here talking to us about this evening. Personal transformation. And I tell you, the revolution that every single one of us here in this building needs more than anything else this evening is a revolution of personal transformation in the deepest areas of our lives. And Paul is saying, this is precisely where this revolution takes place. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. And the place where that revolution is most of all needed, as we will acknowledge in our most honest moments when we are alone and by ourselves and are trying to impress nobody, the place where the revolution is needed is in the human heart. Now, Paul goes on to tell us that the radical, extraordinary measure that God took when he sent Jesus Christ into the world to die on the cross, he tells us the reason for it at the very end of this chapter that Murdo read from. God, he said, having sent his Son, made him to become sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He took us, in other words, and removed the sin from our lives and gave us new hearts and new spirits, new desires, new longings, new wills. And what he was doing was not tinkering with the externals of our human life. He was dealing with the deepest needs of the human heart. What I'm really wondering this evening, and what is in my mind most of all, is in 7 years more, when we have moved into the next century, what kind of change will have taken place in your life? Will it be just the tinkering with the externals? Or will there be this radical revolution of a new heart and a new life which Jesus Christ brings? And that leads me to the second thing that I want to say, and it's this, that this revolution is not only radical, it's supernatural. In the deepest sense, it absolutely has to be. Did you notice while we were reading the beginning of verse 18, immediately after the statement about the Christian revolution, the first phrase of verse 18 is, "All this is from God." So the Christian revolution is divine in its origin. Only God can accomplish it. Now that's something which I think so many people are beginning to be willing to see in our generation. There is no question that we are somewhat tired, many people are even cynical, about the way that human attempts to change the world have so persistently in this century come to nothing. Can you count the number of conferences or gatherings of statesmen or consultations or attempts at arbitrations and every other kind of conferring have taken place again and again and again? And I want to tell you, the world in which we live this evening is precisely the same, because the heart of man is precisely the same. We were talking today at tea time about our national poet, Robert Burns, who I have to confess to you is not my most favorite literary figure, but never mind, he said some very true things now and again, and one of them was, "The hert's eye, the pert eye, that makes us richter rang." If English isn't your first language, that means more or less that it's the heart which is the important part of every man and woman and makes us right or wrong. Winston Churchill put it perhaps in more understandable language when he said, "The heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart." And it's true, isn't it? And the thing that we are greatly needing to discover is that that's what we need changed. That's what I needed changed when God began to confront me with the Christian gospel. And that's what you need changed. And I tell you, only God can do it. Church can't do it. The pressure or influence of friends can't do it. Only God can do it. And what Paul is saying to us here is, I might as well live under the illusion that I could create the universe as live under the illusion that I could change my own heart. So this revolution is radical. It's supernatural. Let me tell you the third thing. It is eternal as well. The very grammar that Paul uses in verse 17 makes this clear. He says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. And what he is saying is that this change that God has wrought in the heart of the Christian is an irreversible change. It's not one that is going to wear off. It is not one that is going to fade away. It is an irreversible change. And that's why people like Murdo MacLean have known through some very dark and difficult hours that God's work in his life is unchanged and unchanging. That's why it's possible for some Christian people to bear testimony to the fact that they have known some of the most appalling experiences. And what God has done in them still remains true. It is an eternal change. Now, what I want to ask you as we close is, have you experienced the Christian revolution? You notice I was not asking, were you born into a Christian home? Nor was I asking, do you go to church? Or even, do you believe in God and read your Bible? What I'm asking is, have you experienced the Christian revolution? Do you empathize immediately with what Paul is saying when he says, if anyone is in Christ, that is, has believed in him, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Now, because the revolution is radical, that means that you need to be ready to let God work at the deepest level in your life, really to change you, really to go down into the depths of your heart, your moral being, your emotional life, your relationships, every area of your life. So that you will gladly say to him, change everything in me, Lord, that needs to be changed, and I will gladly say goodbye to it. That's what the Bible calls repentance. And since this revolution is supernatural and not human, you need to come to God for it. Nobody else can do it for you. You most certainly cannot produce it yourself. And you need to come helpless, humbled before Him, saying, "Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to your cross I cling. Naked come to you for dress. Helpless look to you for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die." Because this radical supernatural revolution is something only God can do. But I tell you this as I finish. There is nothing in the whole world He would rather do in you than that. And there is nothing you need half so much as that. In God's name, don't go through much more of your life tinkering on the surface of your needs. Come to Jesus Christ and find His revolutionary power at work to make you a new person. Let's pray together. O God, we thank You that You have, in Your infinite goodness, sent Your Son into the world so that we might be made a new creation in Him. We pray that many of us this evening may discover our true need and be drawn by Your Holy Spirit to the same Savior. We ask it for His sake. Amen. Now our closing hymn is a familiar one. 558. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in Thee. 558. We sing the first three verses of the hymn, omitting verse 4, 5, 5, 8. That is in Christian Hymns, the other book that I hope you received as you came in this evening. 5, 5, 8 in Christian Hymns.